fact. The world is flat and is being run by an alien species of reptiloids that have the ability to shapeshift into human form. They're covered in human skin and they are known as reptilian humanoids. Some famous reptilian humanoids are cited as being George Bush, Bill Clinton, and even royalty. Their intention is to enslave the human race. Fact. Governments use aeroplanes to diffuse chemicals into the atmosphere, known as chemtrails, in order to regulate the size or behaviour of the population. Fact. Bill Gates is developing a vaccination against the coronavirus in order to secretly implant chips under our skin that can be used to control our minds. Fact. The coronavirus pandemic was just an elaborate hoax designed to prevent the re-election of Donald Trump. This is my favourite. Fact. Finland does not exist. Finland is actually part of the Baltic Sea, and people who claim to live there are really from eastern Sweden, western Russia, or northern Estonia. These nations created Finland so that Japan could fish the sea that truly exists there without having any environmental complaints or repercussions. The fish that are caught there are then shipped via the Trans-Siberian Railway, which was the real reason the railway was built, by the way, from the eastern Russian coast to Japan under the disguise of Nokia products. Obviously, other countries have cottoned onto this by now, but they've agreed to keep it a secret to allow Finland to serve as a model for a better world. No real country could consistently be the best in education, healthcare, gender equality, literacy rates, national stability, and be the least corrupt government in the world. It's a concept for countries and people to aspire to. I don't know what your thoughts are on all of those, but I found them on the internet, so it must be true. Or is it? Personally, I don't believe a word of it, but I do find it concerning that people actually do. Conspiracy theories. What exactly are they? Well, a conspiracy can be described as any covert plan that's involving two or more people. A conspiracy theory is a hypothesized conspiracy which invariably opposes mainstream consensus among people who are actually qualified to evaluate their accuracy, like scientists and historians. The Oxford Dictionary's definition is the belief that a secret but powerful organisation is responsible for an event. That's just what we heard, isn't it? Aliens in the form of powerful people enslaving the human race, chemical population control, and vaccines for mind control. Sorry. When it comes to conspiracy theories, nothing is what it seems. And there is a master plan behind all major events in world history. I can understand why people get scared, can't you? So why are people drawn into this world of conspiracy theories? Well, the attraction appears to be an attempt to satisfy three psychological needs. They want more certainty in life. They want to feel that they have this sense of control. And they want to maintain a positive image of themselves and their group. One problem, though, is that they can actually make things worse for other people. increasing their uncertainty and anxiety, and then impacting on their behaviour with potentially dangerous consequences. One example, and I quote, "The gunman who shot and killed 11 people and injured 6 others in a Pittsburgh synagogue in October 2018 justified his attack by claiming that Jewish people were stealthily supporting illegal immigrants." And then in 2016, another individual fired a weapon in a pizza restaurant because of a conspiracy theory that high-ranking Democratic Party officials were part of a child sex ring involving several restaurants in the area. Fortunately, on that occasion, no one was hurt. Have you noticed how many of these conspiracies feed on fear and intimidation? I just spent half an hour with Google and found lots of so-called conspiracy theories. Most of them aren't crazy, like reptilian humanoids in imaginary countries, so they do seem quite believable. Some of them may be true, not just theories, but actually reality. But the only way for me to find out is to research more. I then get drawn deeper and deeper into these ideologies. Many of the things we hear are totally true. Well, sometimes with a little bit of a conspiracy hidden in there somewhere. So we all assume that that is true as well. I could spend hour upon hour searching Google or going to TikTok and joining the 2 billion users that are already there, and spent hour after hour listening to people's theories. This is what many people do, and then they get sucked in. Fear and paranoia and excitement are roused, and more time is spent reading, listening, and believing. I just have to ask myself, is that healthy? Let's turn to Isaiah chapter 8, verses 11 to 13. That's Isaiah chapter 8 and verses 11 to 13. "The Lord spoke to me with his strong hand upon me, warning me not to follow the way of the people. He said, 'Do not call conspiracy anything these people call conspiracy. Do not fear what they fear, and do not dread it.'" God's telling us here we should not be afraid of following the crowd. We shouldn't be afraid, and we should not be following the crowd and become fearful of their conspiracies. In Isaiah 26:3, it says, "You will keep in perfect peace him whose mind is steadfast, because he trusts in you." It's by trusting God, not people, that brings that much needed inner peace. When we spend all this time getting drawn into the theories of others, we're focusing on fallacy and human ideology, not God. This is just what Satan wants. He will do anything to turn our minds from God, whether it's spending hours researching whether the latest suppositions are really true, or surfing the net looking for more exciting or harmful conspiracy theories. Obviously, most of them aren't labelled as conspiracy theories, but more like something exciting and important information that should be believed because someone posted it on the internet. So what should we do when we're faced with all this often seemingly believable information? Well, I think we need to turn to the one place we know we can trust. It's not Google, TikTok, or AI. It's God's word. Colossians 3, verse 2 says, "Set your minds on heavenly, on things above, not on earthly things." In Hebrews 12, verse 2, "Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who, for the joy set before him, endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. When we focus on Jesus and what he's done, it really helps us to prioritise things in our lives, what really matters. And in turn, that is going to help improve our spiritual lives as well. I remember years ago, and I'm sure you do as well, this amazing discovery that hit the news. It seemed to be in the headlines for months. Probably wasn't, but it certainly did go on for quite a long time. So this linen cloth, 4.4 by 1.1 metres, bearing the image of a man crucified, was believed to be the burial cloth used to wrap Jesus in after his crucifixion. You all heard of that one. It was first discovered in France in 1349. From there, it's travelled extensively around Europe, and it now resides in Turin, Italy. The Turin Shroud, as it is now known, has received a lot of publicity, and many people have dedicated their whole lives to researching it. These include, wait for it, shroud scholars, imaging experts, optical engineers, physicists, optical physicists, scientists, historians, a biblical and shroud scholar, imaging scientists, material scientists, and a crucifixion scholar. These now all come under the title of syndonologists, which is the official term for a scientific study of the Shroud of Turin. And then we have the Shroud Science Group, the Holy Shroud Task Force, the International Congress of the Holy Shroud, the International Scientific Congress, the Holy Shroud Guild and the American Shroud of Turin Association for Research, the International Centre for the Study of the Shroud of Turin, the Shroud of Turin Research Project. It even has its own website and millions of visitors. And then there's the Feast of the Holy Shroud in Portugal, the month-long celebration in Turin dedicated to the Shroud. Multiple international Shroud conferences that you really don't want me to list, because I would literally be here all day. It has been displayed to thousands, and so many have been to see it. They have flocked in their thousands. Endless time and effort has been spent on restoration projects. When I looked at the scientific research, the analysis, the general results are these. Radiocarbon dating dates it to the 12 to 1300s, and scientists agree that this is 95% accurate. There are some Italian scientists that insist that it dates back to 2000 years, to the time of Christ, but I've not been able to find any evidence for that statement. It's the wrong type of weave to be used from the first century AD. The wounds on the cloth are not consistent with those found on the actual body of a crucified Roman. Proportions are not realistic to a human being. With all this information, the question came to my mind, why on earth does anyone think that this is the image of Jesus crucified? I mean, where did that idea even come from? Well, I asked the question, and everywhere I looked, the same answer came up. The answer is because details of the image are consistent with traditional depictions of Jesus of Nazareth after his death by crucifixion. The shroud has been venerated for centuries, especially by members of the Catholic Church, as Jesus' burial shroud, upon which his image was miraculously imprinted. Basically, people want to believe it's the form of Jesus. Therefore, they try everything in their power to make it fit into their desired theory. I'm no scientist or scholar, and I actually don't need to be. I have God's word, and I don't need to dedicate my whole life to proving that this piece of cloth is not the burial cloth of Jesus. It takes just one story in the Bible to prove to me beyond a doubt that this is fake. In Luke 24:12, it says, and this is after the resurrection when the disciples went to the tomb, it says, Peter, however, bending over, he saw strips of linen lying by themselves. And in John 20, verses 6 to 7, then Simon Peter, who was behind him, arrived and went into the tomb. He saw the strips of linen lying there, as well as the burial cloth that had been around Jesus' head. The cloth was folded up by itself, separate from the linen. In both Gospels, where we're told about the disciples at the tomb, they say there were strips of linen. John then goes on to tell us that there was a separate cloth used for Jesus' head. Does the Turin shroud fit the description of what the Bible tells us Jesus was wrapped in? Absolutely not. There were multiple cloths, not just one. Simple. There is not one shred of evidence linking the Turin shroud with the Bible's description of Jesus' grave clothes, yet the world continues to marvel and believe. This is just one little example of why it's so important to read and understand the Bible for ourselves. Don't believe something because someone tells you it's true. Test and see. Scholars say the shroud is genuine. The Bible tells us otherwise. The new Christians in Berea, they saw the need to study. In Acts 17:11, it says, now the Bereans were of more noble character than the Thessalonians, for they received the message with great eagerness and examined the scriptures every day to see if what Paul said was true. This is how we should be studying too. Something I always told the children in Sabbath school, don't believe it because I tell you or because your parents say so. Read it in the Bible and see for yourselves. It's so easy to misconstrue something, especially if it's been taken out of context. And if we don't study for ourselves, how are we going to know if what we're being taught is true or not? How much more important are Bible truths and matters of salvation? In Jeremiah 29:13, God says, you will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. God wants us to spend time developing a deeper relationship with him, studying, seeking with sincerity and purpose. Proverbs 4:25-27 says, let your eyes look straight ahead. Fix your gaze directly before you. Make level paths for your feet and take only ways that are firm. Do not swerve to the right or to the left. Keep your foot from evil. Focusing on God, fixing our gaze on him is the only way to avoid distractions, temptations, and being led astray. When we focus our minds on theories and conspiracies, we take our eyes off Jesus. Peter focused on Jesus when he walked on the water, but the distractions and fear of the wind and waves moved his focus away from Jesus and he began to sink. It was when he recognised his need of Jesus and he called out for him to save him that Jesus reached out and took his hand. It's the same for us. I just love the way it's worded in 1 Timothy 4:7-8. Says, have nothing to do with godless myths and old wives' tales. Rather, train yourself to be godly. If you've heard that verse before, I'll read it again. Have nothing to do with godless myths and old wives' tales. Rather, train yourself to be godly. Jesus himself warned us against believing falsehoods when he spoke about the signs of the coming. Let's turn together Matthew 24. So Matthew 24, verses 23 to 27. So he says, at that time, if anyone says to you, look, here is the Christ, or there he is, do not believe it. For false Christs and false prophets will appear and perform great signs and miracles to deceive even the elect, if that were possible. See, I have told you ahead of time. I truly believe that Jesus' return is imminent. Just look at what is happening around the world at the moment. We need to be vigilant and aware of the signs God has so graciously given us in the Bible. God has to be our focus, not people. God will only tell us the truth. Jesus knows us better than we know ourselves. And he's given us these warnings because he knows how gullible and accepting of people's lives and theories we can be. Over the centuries, countless people have claimed to be the Christ, and so many people have been led astray and they've believed. Jesus knows how easily we can be drawn into falsehoods, and that's why he says to us, see, I have told you ahead of time. He's warning us. He's pleading with us because he does not want to lose us. If we don't know what the truth is, how will we ever know if we're being deceived? In 2 Corinthians 10, verse 5, Paul says, we demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. And we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. This is what we should be doing. We need to be vigilant and reject anything that is against the knowledge of God. There are so many unknowns in life. We get to choose what we do with them. In Psalm 16:8, David says, I have set the Lord always before me. Because he is at my right hand, I will not be shaken. Only by focusing on God can we remain secure through life's challenges. Jesus' words in Matthew 6:22-23 say, the eye is the lamp of the body. If your eyes are good, your whole body will be good and full of light. But if your eyes are bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. Jesus is telling us plain and simply that what we spend time focusing on is what we will become in sight. Focus on falsehood and that's what you'll become full of. Focus on God and you will be filled with God's spirit and truth. It's time to ask ourselves the question, what do I choose to be filled with today? Amen.